am 2 seconds from being on you like white on rice and a glass of milk and a paper plate in a snowstorm.
I don't give a damn who you are. This is America, Jack.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me?
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Feliz Navidad.
¿Dónde está Santa Claus?
AM 770 KTTH. How are ye?
my one semester of Espanol is paying off. Where is the Santa Claus?
So isn't it just where is Santa Claus? ¿Dónde está Santa Claus?
Yeah, you're probably right.
Oh, now he's breaking into English. I can't understand. So anyway, good morning, everybody, for your December 2nd, 2022. I'm going to take, that's why I have this breakaway little buckle, because I don't like my lanyard around my neck, but I'm already in here. I don't need it anymore. Don't
Those
need
are the your card radio key. Credentials you hang around your neck as
that's
you walk
right.
into the building?
Kind of a big deal. I'm in the radio. Here's my photo ID, as you see.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Works every time. And so, Brian, that makes no sense. What was it?
That smells like pure gasoline.
Gotta be honest with you. It's very strong. It's pungent. So we had an all staff meeting, all hands, all staff yesterday. You know who wasn't there? Of course, you know who wasn't there.
Oh, sorry. I was only working like my eighth job of the day.
Well, one of your jobs is to be a teammate, be a member of this team Bonneville Seattle. We did a head count. Everyone was there on Zoom.
Okay, well...
Even the engineer dude, who's literally around the corner right next to your office, he was on Zoom. He was 10 feet away on Zoom in his office.
Well, what insights, revelations...
Well, we got to Tomlin. It was silence. It was crickets.
Any machinations I need to be made privy to?
Right after Suits is Tomlin, ST, and they said, Brian Suits, and I went, yeah. Yep, here.
And then the fail
then Kathy
horn
goes,
went off.
Tomlin, Greg Tomlin, no, just crickets.
So. Bueller.
You missed all kinds of important stuff. I'm not at liberty to discuss it on the radio. I can call you out.
Suits and Tomlin are just outperforming, and we want to give them more money because I mean, if they said that, I'm interested.
Well, maybe they didn't say that. But anyway. It was I go way back with the big boss when she was director of promotions here, and so I got to air. We did the airing of grievances before the actual meeting.
Okay, nice.
And I said, I've got two grievances I need to air. I showed her the great issue of the decorative wood paneling that I was accused of tearing down off the wall.
Which, oh yes,
this is because they put the 3M mounting strips the wrong way. It says right out of the box, like four times, put them up and down, not horizontally, put them vertically.
How's the SPD investigation going into that case?
They've reached
new funding.
A fork in the road. For some, I don't know why, I guess it's a Fox event, but
loans were paid out.
They are, well, they went to Michael Horowitz, Department of Justice Inspector. But first, they're out at the Reagan Library. The library in Simi Valley. And I don't know what, I guess it's a Fox event at the Reagan Library or something. But they're there. It's dark. And the, because T. Boone Pickens, he purchased Reagan's Air Force One and donated it to the library. And it's inside. And it's up on pilot. It's really, really, you can walk through it. You can walk through, you enter at the nose and you walk through. And it's so funny because it's a 707. And at the time in the 80s, it was the Majesty of America. And I think it was Johnson who first had the 707 or whatever. And it was, an impressive plane for its time. But it's so crazy because when you go through, the first thing you're struck by is, man, this is a small ass plane. And it took him a long enough time to get to a 747 on that. But anyway, it's a must. If for some reason the Huskies are in a bowl game or whatever, or you have some reason to go down, you lose a bet and you have to go to Southern California for winter or for Christmas or anything like that or vacation. If you've never done it, I gotta say the Reagan Library is absolute bucket list.
Yeah, I know Michael Medved's been there many times and given speeches and always loves going down there. I have yet to make my way to the Reagan Library, but I've heard good things.
It really is. You know, in all honesty, if you are a history dork, guilty, it is worth getting a hotel out in that neck of the woods. So that you don't have any sort of artificial time limit and you can stroll through it. It is a great, because like I've been to the Nixon Library is pretty bare bones. You know, it's not like he was known for his tremendous wit and humor or anything like that. There's no like the hidden Richard Nixon. I think, you know, in many ways, he was a fairly, you know, lamentable and pitiful individual of great momentous, you know, presidential decisions. And the library really focuses on that. The Reagan Library really gets to kind of the 80s. It's kind of a flashback 80s thing. And there's a bunch of really fun things that you can do with your kids. There's a horse mannequin with the saddle and the legs are cut off. And you can put your kids in the saddle. In the background is a high-res photo of Reagan on his horse. So it looks like you are riding your horse with Reagan. It's pretty cool.
Isn't calling it a library kind of a misnomer?
There is an archive.
A museum.
There's the walkthrough part that is the Reagan Museum, but there is an archive. Because I went through the process once to look at some stuff about the Achille Lauro hijacking from the 80s and all that. And it's a separate building on the same property, which is amazing. It looks west towards the Pacific Ocean. And then they also do some really cool rotating displays. So there's the permanent Reagan Library and Air Force One. Below here's what's not at the Nixon Library. Below Air Force One is a pub, is an Irish pub. And it's at the Nixon Library, there's like, okay, there's a cafe, there's a buffet or whatever, you know, it's a walkthrough IKEA lunch or whatever. At the Reagan Library, there's this huge, huge area under Air Force One, gigantic windows, 10 stories high. And you go through and you grab your, you know, order a hot meal or whatever, but you can get a Guinness or get a Harp or get various Irish drinks that are better known to other people than me. Then you walk out there and just sit there and take it all in. And Marine One, the old Marine One is there. There's an F-14 outside. Really, really cool. And then there's a section of the Berlin Wall. There's a scale reproduction of the Rose Garden, that whatever it is, that area of the White House where you walk out and the helicopter is idling and you yell at the press and they yell stories back at you and all this. And there's a section of the Berlin Wall plopped right there. So if you're going to go to the mausoleum or go to the final resting place of Ron and Nancy, that's you walk right by. It's really cool.
This is my future self getting a beer at the Reagan Library.
That's a pretty good sound effect. I know that I should be sleeping. You can hear the foam. That's a foamy pour. That's a crappy
it's
pour.
It's a really foamy pour.
Yeah, you're fired. A whole lot of fun. My friend Kennedy and her husband Dave went to the service and the walk-by that morning. I was in Baghdad. But in 2004 or 2005 when Reagan died, but she went and she said it was really moving, but it's a really, really cool library, and for some reason Fox is there this morning. It's the only reason I mention it.
Anyway, 0-2.
Great way to kill 12 minutes. And so I need to move on, because if I don't give in to the temptation, I'm going to get myself in trouble. But everything I talked to you about, Greg, off air, that I found out from a law enforcement friend, I wouldn't say that on the air. I would say this: if I found out like many people my age, I'm unaware of what the darn kids are doing these days. One of the weird things, and parents, you really, really, really need to be blunt with your daughters about this. Ever since the NCAA and various states, including this one, allow for what's called license, image, and name, That is, you know, athletes from Division One down to, you know, whatever, 1AAA or whatever the heck it is. You know, Montana A&M Tech School of Mining or whatever. There is, and this is really scary. You know, kids want to be viral famous, number one. Okay, so they're all on TikTok and all this. One way to be really quickly viral famous as well as make a lot of money is to put pictures that frankly would shock most adults that a 17 or 18 or 19 year old would put up on Instagram or a subscription based, more adult themed website. You know, when you're 18 or 19, you don't need your parents' permission to do whatever you want on a camera. And so this is huge. It's huge. And, you can't tell your kids not when they're 18, they're not kids anymore. And so anyway, there's when you send your kids up to school, and I'm specifically, you know what, I'm just going to take the gloves off. If your daughters are attractive, they probably know it. If they don't know it, they'll be told it. If they have a TikTok or Instagram, they're being told by complete strangers how hot they are. And then they crack 10,000 followers. Then they crack 15,000 or whatever. And then they start making money. And that's in this environment, in this world, there's so many predators out there. It's not like that's going away. By having access to the pictures that you put up wearing a thong in Hawaii at the age of 17 or something like that.
And let me just clarify.
Tell your kids when you go on vacation, hey, maybe not the thong pictures.
What you're alluding to here is ancillary details involving the murder of four students at the University of Idaho, which we still don't know a lot about. We're some 3 weeks removed from this heinous crime. And at this point, there's still more questions than answers. So it leads to speculation about what really happened here because we still don't know much.
And there, look, you know, like I said, there's one gigantic question that's not being asked by anybody just because it's, you know, too soon and the whole thing. So, you know how I never say what you as a joke, by the way, just a refresh for everyone. As a joke, I say what you will about Hitler, because Ricky Gervais, the English comic, when he was on Jerry Seinfeld's comedians driving around in cars getting coffee, he was talking about what a crap honeymoon Hitler had. It was sort of a joke about, you know, for Hitler's honeymoon, he poisoned his wife. Poisoned his dog and then shot himself and all that. And the punchline to Jerry Seinfeld was, say what you will about Hitler, but the guy really knew how to throw a honeymoon. And Seinfeld laughs and says, you know, the best part of that joke is say what you will about Hitler, because it so minimizes Hitler. So that's the joke. That's why I say that, because Hitler, Google him, bad guy, a bad guy. Nothing good about, you can't say, here's the crazy part. You can't say, well, he was a pretty good landscape artist.
One of my favorite bits about Hitler of all time is Norm MacDonald acting like he doesn't know who Hitler is, and he's reading a Wikipedia page.
Like
of
live or
he's
whatever,
like,
yeah.
Oh, look, decorated war veteran from World War I. Loved art. Hold the fort. Hated Jews.
Hopefully, I don't know, I'm being hypocritical by playing this, but Alex Jones, who's a different kind of insane, had Kanye West on yesterday, and that weaselly little Nick Fuentes. And I mean, you talk about an enabler. So Kanye is wearing, I don't know what this deal is, a full face mask. I mean, like, it's one of those sheer things. Like, you see those people that dress in green at football games. They're wearing a full body, you know, thing that hides their face.
He looks like he's cast as a new villain in a Batman movie.
Yeah. It's the entire face covered. And Alex Jones, who's not a dummy, he knows his brand. All he got to do is scratch Kanye West a little bit and ask him, hey, did the Nazis get a bad rap or what? And he said this.
I've said it. The most Nazi-like activities I've seen, and the Nazis, in my view, were thugs that shook people down, did a lot of really bad things.
But they did good things, too. We're going to stop dissing the Nazis all the time.
Okay.
I don't know.
And it was quite a 12-hour span for Kanye last night. Finds a way I don't think he has any more endorsements that were, you know, originally made by Nazis, like Adidas.
He's having a complete public breakdown.
But he tweeted a picture of a swastika, the Hakenkreuz, in its original German. And I don't know what it was. Well, I guess in its original Hindu, it's swastika. But a swastika merged with the Star of David, or Magen David. And that's, you know, obviously on the face of it, just astoundingly offensive. And so Elon Musk, you know, kicked him off Twitter. He re-kicked him off Twitter.
Musk is going through a trial by fire right now when it comes to free speech and what is allowed on this platform that he just purchased. And one of his first major decisions here is to ban Kanye West.
But they did good things, too. We're going to stop dissing the Nazis all the time.
And so because he said it, it'll now become, you know, a meme and conventional wisdom, and there'll be like a reinvention of, well, if you think about it, actually, they, you know, did a lot of good things, and they invented the highway. He said that, too. Invented the highway.
Every human being has something of value that they brought to the table, especially Hitler.
Yeah. So there's that. And by the way, it's a myth that Hitler never painted people. In his landscape, there were plenty of cityscapes of Vienna and all that. Where there were people. That's a convenient myth to make him just so different. You know, he was entirely human, but a really really power hungry evil guy. But his thing about, we got to stop dissing on the Nazis. So anyway, he's not a thing anymore. You take him off Twitter, and I don't know where he goes. At this point, he's now, I you know, it's funny, the big takeaway about the infamous Mar-a-Lago dinner from this time last week or whatever with Kanye was Trump practically kicked him out, apparently, because Kanye made a joke but was not making a joke when he said, hey, I'm going to run for president. You can be my running mate. He says that to a former president of the United States. And obviously that is peeing on Trump's Wheaties, and Trump, part of Trump's angry denunciation had to do with that. So I don't know where the guy goes. Hopefully he goes away and he gets his mental health help. Though I've never heard him. I don't know why people say, you know, I get that maybe, you know, he's a smart guy, but I've never heard him say anything that sounds to me like a really hot take or anything. He seems like a bipolar, very, very troubled person who knows what he's saying.
And it's sad to watch the meltdown happen in real time, because he's now assumed this role of being a provocateur and someone who says incendiary, outlandish things. But you can't argue with the guy's I've been a fan of his music for years and years and years. But all of a sudden, he's just saying the craziest, nuttiest stuff.
So you're picking and choosing what of him. So you will continue dissing the Nazis?
What we're pushing with the pornography. But this guy that invented.
Oh, that was different. So wait a minute. What was that?
Highways invented the very microphone that I use as a musician.
No.
You can't say out loud that this person ever did anything.
No, sorry. So that's what annoys me about this and about 13-year-old boys who love Tiger Tanks, is that they don't know how incredibly above his station and incompetent Hitler really was. I was one of those kids, but it's crazy. The more history you read about how Hitler organized and led, you realize he really was stupid. The most basic thing in war, like what the reason Ulysses Grant was a genius was, he hired good people and let them work and stepped away.
You don't think it was a good plan to try to win two wars on two different fronts?
Historically, it's really hard to find a dumber decision than, well, we got France wrapped up, now let's take on the Soviet Union. Back in a second, AM 77, but, you know, I don't want to diss on Nazis, except that I do. Back in a second, checking if you're texting AM 770 KTTH. AM episode of the KTTH. It is an actual Friday, and I can honestly tell you, threw everything out from yesterday. Except a lot of people via email and text liked obscure songs that should be bigger Christmas hits, for instance. So I'll keep finding those. A favorite amongst people was the Bob Marley and the Wailers' White Christmas. But I played that late. But I got to say, that's hard to listen to because just the recording from 1965 is not good.
Yeah, the audio sounds like you're standing in front of a record player from 1947.
But I thought Hitler invented the microphone, you know?
Well, say what you will about the guy.
Yeah, well, here's Kanye.
I've said it, the most Nazi-like activities I've seen, and the Nazis, in my view, were thugs that shook people down, did a lot of really bad things.
But they did good things, too. We're going to stop dissing the Nazis all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get to that.
So
when you've lost Alex Jones.
Yeah. Well, he wants to move along. And all that. And again, my temptation to go down a fascinating historical analogy. You know, stories. Radio is about telling stories, Greg.
Okay.
And I'll hold off on that. No. A great story that broke about 2 weeks ago when the FTX crypto exchange filed for bankruptcy today, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. When it collapsed, it was really obvious that it was a scam, the guy was running it like a scam. He was pulling funds out. This is why he's in the Bahamas. He was pulling funds out of an investment and then funding his own hedge fund and all this. And now it's crazy because he's decided that what he's going to do is go on TV all over the place and just express this weird Mark Zuckerberg emotionless regret and blame it on everything that, gosh, we meant well. And he's still trying to play this shtick. Oh, no, I wanted to get rich so I could be a better philanthropist because I'm inspired by Jeffrey Bezos. And all that. The difference is that if I give Amazon money, they give me stuff I ordered, in fact, in a timely fashion. I don't think it's a Ponzi scheme. I'm not investing to learn their system, you know, and then it turns out that all I got to do at that point is get 10 people to pay for me to teach them the system. No, I give them money. They give me stuff. Anyway, so wait, which one should I play first? Oh, this is the FTX guy.
Yeah, clip six.
Oh, this poor guy.
I didn't ever try to commit fraud on anyone. I was excited about the prospects of FTX a month ago. I saw it as a thriving, growing business. I was shocked by what happened this month. And, you know, reconstructing it, were there things I wish I had done differently? There was no person who was chiefly in charge of positional risk of customers on FTX. And that feels pretty embarrassing in retrospect.
Yeah, it should. His parents, of course, are both professors of law at Stanford, and that's their double spawn. And so the guy didn't have a chief financial officer. He didn't. There was literally no adult in the room. When I say adult, I mean how about anyone over 26? And did you hear that he accidentally bought his parents a $12 million house?
I believe it.
That's what he said. When people are going down the ledger saying, wait, you know, the U.S. bankruptcy court put a new CEO in position. This guy, day after day, is more shocked than the day before of what he's seeing. And what would be illegal with corporate funds in this country is apparently just sort of, you know, winked at in the Bahamas. He was buying property left and right and trying to hide it. And they had asked him because, when the sun's up, he does have to answer questions because he's the one who filed for bankruptcy. And they're saying, okay, what's this house? What's this house? What's this house? Oh, and he's going, that's the corporate retreat. So it's a write-off and all this. And they get to some house, $12 million in the Bahamas, some amazing house in the Bahamas. And he said, I bought that from my parents, but it was a mistake. I mistakenly bought it. So anyway, if Jim Cramer, who's been criticized for years for being a bit of a cheerleader, too much of a cheerleader for the Fed, too much of a cheerleader for stocks that he has a fund. He has a charity, and he'll tell you what stocks are in the fund, and then he'll start cheerleading for them until they lose money. Anyway, when you've lost him, then you've lost a lot.
Yeah, negativity there was unbelievable. How great your day was yesterday. I came back shaking from him, and then the con artist was just wild.
He's fabulous.
Commingled, stole, but he was sorry. Sorry.
We will see.
I said earlier, sorry, you got caught.
Stealing is never to say you're sorry.
Legal system assesses all of this, of course.
I don't care about alleged anymore. I'm dropping the whole alleged nonsense. I'm not being a journalist anymore when it comes to that guy.
Jim
Cramer, not being alleged. Okay.
Taking the gloves off early this morning.
Yeah,
we're going to see you
off
in just a few minutes.
I like
so there you go. That's Aaron Ross Sorkin talking to Jim Cramer. Sorkin is the guy that had him on, that had the con man on for an hour and all that. Some jobs numbers and stuff like that we'll get to. Checking of your texting right now. And 541 says, happy Friday, guys. Hey, that soundbite of Kanye of "We Gotta Quit Dissing the Nazis All the Time." Maybe the greatest soundbite of all time, bigger than Beyonce. Don't let producer Greg put it in the ash heap of soundbites. Do you put things in the ash heap of soundbites of history?
Only on rare occasions.
Well, not that one. That goes. By the way, I don't think anyone wants that one as a ringtone.
No, that could get you into trouble at parties and
yeah,
gatherings.
Heads up. For every Brian, here's a simple solution. This is from the Kelly in the 253. Simple solution to the immigration problem. For every migrant accepted into the U.S., two woke liberals should be exported to the country of their origin. Works for me. Been thought of before, but thank you very much, Kelly. Very clever.
From the 206, say what you will about Hitler, but he was a fantastic ally during World War II, as he did kill Hitler after all.
It's crazy. Well, it's redundant to say that with Hitler, but had he not declared war on the United States, FDR would have had a bit of a slog to convince the American people what he had told Churchill we were going to do, which was this: hey, Hitler first and Tojo second. The United States on December 8th, we were not oriented at all towards, well, we'll lick one guy, then lick the other. It was all Japan.
Yeah, that had to be one of Hitler's biggest blunders, was declaring war on the U.S. We were ready with Japan, not ready before the attack on Pearl Harbor, but we were ready to go to war with them after Pearl Harbor. But you're exactly right. I'm still not sure we would have been all behind the effort to go after Hitler had he not declared war first.
No. And that's where the U.S. Navy was 90% Pacific. The Marine Corps was nearly 100% Pacific. And it's crazy because whenever I hear people that fetishize, well, you know, they put jets in combat first and they had better tanks than we did. What's crazy is the American approach to war changed in the Civil War. And I mean the winning side, the good guys, the United States Army. And it was a top to bottom from the factory that makes the boots right to the point of the bayonet at Gettysburg. It all has to be one thing. And it was America that first put that all together. It wasn't Napoleon. It wasn't Churchill. But it was America after the Civil War that, okay, it's all one thing. And if you don't have it coordinated, and that's one thing, if you get beyond the vapid outer, sexy tanks and they had the first jet, you realize that Nazi Germany was absolutely on the shakiest foundation possible. And the crazy part is a whole bunch of people who should know did know, but because of the fealty thing that Germans have, no one had a sit down with Hitler and said, I got really bad news for you about our industrial coordination. You know, we're not ready for this. We're not ready for that. No one did. And that was a big revelation. It took an American historian, because the Germans had these records ever since the end of World War II. But it's like the least sexy thing you can do in German history is go back and examine the Third Reich. And so there's all these archives that have been sitting there rotting, and it took an American to go there. And he couldn't believe what he was reading. And it was a revelation. Anyway, but Kanye said, we got to stop dissing Nazis. because they invented microphones or something. Anyway, we'll play. I don't know if I want to play that after 7 a.m., so I won't. Check your phone messages, folks. Chances are many of your school districts are doing a two-hour late start today, so there is that. Tell the kiddies, wake them up so you can tell them to get back to bed. AM 770 KTTH. I'm 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and Apple's an American company, right? Or are they? Headquartered in Cupertino, California. They make money in American dollars. Here's their CEO being confronted with some hard questions about doing business in China and freedom and the ability to, not live in a police state and stuff like that. Listen to how his refreshing honesty sounds.
Hi, Mr. Fogg. Do you support the Chinese people's right to protest? Do you have any reaction to the factory workers that were beaten and detained for protesting COVID lockdowns?
That's how it went. Yeah, he's stomping on all the crickets. he's going out of his way to crush crickets, too. Tim Cook, a stone-faced Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, the most high-profile company absolutely in bed with China. And to their credit, by the way, Nike and the company founded by a Nazi, Adidas, they've gotten out of China. By and large, they've gotten out of China, and to China's chagrin, they've gone to Vietnam, and Vietnam has been openly courting a lot of American companies, saying, hey, listen, we're cheap. We're just a police state, but we're cheaper. And they're not. I mean, Vietnam is still a very hardcore commie country, but they're not nearly they don't mistrust their own people the way that the Chinese do, to where they have to be facial recognized constantly on camera and all that. And it's funny because Chinese people aren't real happy about that. I didn't know this, but when the Chinese locked down the town outside of Foxconn that makes something like 40% of the Apple devices, not just phones, but the Apple Watch and all that stuff, they locked down at that factory nearly 300,000 people work. And this is the time of year when they're going three shifts and the whole thing. And they're not happy. They're not happy. They know that the lockdown is virtually ineffective, that people are still getting COVID. And also they know something that the American media just can't wrap their minds around. The Chinese numbers of dead and infected are complete lies. Complete lies. And when the Chinese were dunking on America, the spokesperson the other day saying over a million COVID deaths and gun murders and all this, they're lying. They have easily over a million COVID deaths. It's just that they get to report numbers in the American media instead of saying the numbers from the Chinese Communist Party, notorious for lying, are, because the Chinese still maintain that, well, yeah, we've had 10 dead from COVID or whatever. And so it is really disgusting seeing an American like Tim Cook who just can't stop and say, we as a company, because we are American, are very concerned about human rights. Just say that and keep walking.
Well, and Tim Cook may have zipped his lip in the face of those reporters' questions while on Capitol Hill. But here is some of the fawning he's done.
Yeah, I didn't even set that up.
In the past.
He's in D.C. That's why it's all reverby and marbly, because he was up on Capitol Hill yesterday.
He's going to meet with lawmakers.
And he just won't answer questions of the lowly media.
But let's go to the audio vault. Here's what he's previously said about China.
China's done an unbelievable job of lifting people out of poverty. They've done an incredible job, far beyond what any country has done. We were talking about mid-90s to today. The biggest change is the number of people that have been pulled out of poverty by far, and we should all applaud that, and we should all feel good about it. And so there are in the environmental leadership today is very clear, and it aligns completely with Apple's values.
What a scumbag. What an absolute scumbag. He should spend a month in a Uyghur re-education camp, or an hour.
Forget all the babies they've killed by throwing them out in baskets in the streets. They've pulled so many people out of poverty, and they're just spot on the climate. No problem saying great things about the regime over there.
And that wasn't like from 20 years ago
when
he was getting his PhD. No, I mean, that's his standard defense of, hey, say what you will about top-to-bottom communism, but they've lifted so many people out of poverty. Or whatever. Well, they were in poverty because of communism.
And if any company could move all their operations to the U.S., it has to be Apple. What, they're worth over $1 trillion?
Yeah.
You can afford to take a little bit of a hit to your bottom line rather than continue to make your products over in sweatshop-like conditions in China where they're interning a Muslim population, and the ruler over there has an extremely tight grip on the power structure, et cetera.
And that's the thing is, Tim Cook, of course, if the B'nai B'rith or the Holocaust, the Simon Wiesenthal Center or the Holocaust Museum goes to Cupertino and asks for a donation and has a gala, of course he'll say, never forget, and he'll hand over $10 million or whatever. It's like, what's the difference? The largest complete police state on earth is the one you just defended by saying, yeah, but say what you will, but they've lifted more people out of poverty. Okay, but it's still a police state. I mean, the entire model that Deng Xiaoping set up was, listen, let's unleash Chinese innovation, hard work, and creativity. However, they can never, ever, ever question the primacy and the authority of the Chinese Communist Party. And that's where I wish I could go back to the 80s or the 70s and talk to the Kissingers and the Wolfowitzes and all those people who said, yeah, no. Here's what they don't know. Prosperity is going to bring democracy. And there's zero evidence of that. There's absolutely zero evidence of that. That's not what caused the American Revolution. We went with, let's start with freedom and then see what happens. But what is happening now is, okay, now there's 300 million what we would call middle class people. And they're saying, all right, but, you know, I'm no scientist, but I know this COVID thing is has washed over me. I had it. Can I go back to work now? And so the Chinese Communist Party might have unleashed the Kraken, who had a 7-game winning streak, because they're now taking people's money away. And this is where all these workers at Foxconn are like, well, never mind welding my door shut. Just let me get a paycheck. Just let me go to work. So anyway, Tim Cook gets an extra hard lashing because he should know better.
And someone who is not mincing words when it comes to China is UK's new prime minister.
Now, let's be clear. The so-called golden era is over, along with the naive idea that trade would automatically lead to social and political reform. But nor should we rely on simplistic Cold War rhetoric. We recognize China poses a systemic challenge to our values and interests, a challenge that grows more acute as it moves towards even greater authoritarianism. Instead of listening to their people's protests, the Chinese government has chosen to crack down further.
And he went on, but you get the idea.
I can't find Senator Kennedy saying I had a beagle named Crackhead.
That would have been made for a great cut right after that.
Yeah, and where'd I put it? Anyway, that's Rishi Sunak, the new PM. But yeah, it was the most naive thing when people were saying, well, you know, if we engage with them, democracy will just rub off like osmosis or something. No. I'm distracted. Oh, I wish you could. Here's Varmus.
And it occurred to me that for much of the extreme political right in this country, children are varmint.
So there you go. There's a setup on that one. But so a couple things. It's sort of a contradiction in news today. It's one of these confusing things about, well, were the job numbers good or bad? Those released about an hour ago.
The labor force participation rate moving in the wrong direction. This is not good. 62.1. That equals the low mark, which was in July, also at 62.1 on a recent basis. If you go back into last year, we had 61.4 actually in January of 2020.
Nice numbers, nerd. That's been an ongoing lament about, well, there's so many empty jobs, so many, you know, help wanted signs up and all that, because people who can work aren't working, and we're probably paying the price for that, or they're going to figure that out. But now there's some different interpretation on numbers. Analysts have been expecting the U.S. labor market to yield to the pressure of rising interest rates. Thing is, inflation is down. Pardon me, unemployment is down to 3.7%. But again, that is a bit deceptive, because that doesn't count people who stop looking for work. That's that number that, well, what's the unemployment rate? Well, it's 3.7%. But that's amongst people looking for jobs. And that's the, whatever it is, the U5 or the U7 or whatever. The number of people who could work but stop looking for jobs exceeds the number of jobs that were created in November. So get to work, you lazy asses. Get back in the coal mine or whatever. All right, back in just a second. AM 770 KTTH.